Amen. It is Memorial Day weekend this weekend, and I really don't think there's anybody in this country who hasn't been affected by a veteran or knows somebody who hasn't been affected by war. It's just, I don't even have words. So here's what we're going to do. Let's everybody stand up, and we'll pray, because it is Memorial Day. We're going to pray for a couple of things. I'm emotional because I have a brother He's a captain in the Army. He flew in Vietnam. And because of his flying in Vietnam, he had brain cancer because of the Agent Orange that they sprayed to kill the foliage so they could see the enemy. And that was a battle. I tell you, he was healed twice of brain cancer. And he's living a normal life today. But those things, and it's just my family, and Manny's not here, but Manny's a soldier, done two or three tours in the Middle East, and he tells us stories of just atrocities, and it's terrible. And for those who have families who are suffering because of the ultimate sacrifice, just so we can stand in this room today and do this, or, you know, go to work, or travel around the world, or do whatever. Yeah, like the video said, you know, lay your life down for your friends. And a lot of guys have done that. A lot of families have been torn up. I mean, widows with children. It's like, it's just like, who does that? So we're going to pray today. We'll pray for those soldiers that are dealing with PTSD, for their families, for their kids. So, Father,
thank you, Father.
In the name of Jesus,
you,
we pray today, Lord. We pray for these soldiers, God, and their families, God, and those children. And, Father, for the ones who have given the ultimate sacrifice, Father, who have died on the battlefield. Just so people can be free in this country and complain about the president. You know, Lord, we pray for the families, for the children of these families who have been left alone because of the ultimate sacrifice of these men and women, Lord. And Father, we pray for the men who have come back damaged, who have come back with their minds trashed, who are suffering and having flashbacks and struggling with just life because of what they've seen and what they've done. And Father, the condemnation and guilt that comes with it, we pray that they are restored 100-fold to who they were before, Lord. And Father, we pray 100-fold increase on their lives, that they can be productive and that they can function, that they can be great moms and dads to everybody. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for those soldiers who are in the hospital, missing limbs, God, that limbs grow out, that they are healed and whole in the name of Jesus. They are strengthened in their inner parts, Father. That they are strengthened in their inner parts, that they can grow to be functional again. And Father, most of all, we exalt you in everything we do today over this weekend for these soldiers who have given it up, Lord. Gone to places for their country. For their country that they love. It's awesome, Father. We thank you, Lord, that these men who have given the ultimate sacrifice, laid their lives down for their friends, we don't take it lightly.
Thank you, God.
And we love you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name.
Name.
Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. All right, you may be seated, and I'll try to figure out what I'm doing here. Hallelujah. All right. Whew. Sorry about that. It's just it's this close to my heart.
Amen.
I love soldiers. I wished I was one. But in the 80s, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't anything going on. So I chose not to. Anyway, We're in a series called Got Faith. We're talking about faith, because faith is the most important thing in your life. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, if you're a person who believes in the Most High God, you have to have faith. Romans says, we looked at all these scriptures. I encourage you, all these messages are on our website. This is week 4. We talked about what faith is. We talked about how to get it. Last week, we talked about believing. This week, we're going to talk about believing in the heart, because there's a difference between believing and believing in the heart, and it's important. Faith is so important that Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, you can't please God. So that would mean, to me, just a simple kid, that's kind of important. It's pretty important. If you want to please God, anybody want to please God?
Yes.
Okay. You need to have faith. Now, last week we talked, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about how to get it. In Romans 10:17, says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You get it by hearing. And in order to hear it, you have to listen, right? The difference between hearing and listening, right? I mean, your wife can tell you stuff all day long, but when she says something about going to spend money, you're listening to that. It's like, what? Wait, what? You're going to Macy's? No, we don't want to do that. All of a sudden, we listen, right? But we can hear all day. Big difference, okay? So we're going to talk about this some more. We're going to talk about believing in the heart. With faith being so important, how come us as believers can be so ruled by unbelief? I mean, you can sit in this room for weeks and weeks and weeks and learn and learn and learn and say, I never knew that. I never knew Jesus did that. I never this, that, and the other thing. But then all of a sudden you get out there, and all of a sudden a little sickness creeps up, or one of your kids gets sick, and all of a sudden unbelief just crashes down upon you because we're just not believing in our heart. And it's important. If you turn to Mark chapter 11, last week we talked about believing. This week we're going to talk about believing in the heart, because unless you believe in your heart, you're going to walk in unbelief, okay? Mark chapter 11, we're going to start right in verse 22, because we talked about this last week. We'll jump ahead here. So Jesus answered and said to them, talking to his disciples, they walked past this tree. Jesus wanted a fig off this tree. The tree had leaves on it. That means it was the time for figs, and this particular tree, I don't know if somebody got to it before, but all the figs were gone. Jesus cursed that tree, okay? He cursed it. He said, no one eat fruit of you again. And he walked off, just like nothing, right? And then they come by the next day, and Peter says, hey, look at the tree. It's dried up from the root. Those words, dried up from the root, doesn't mean it just fell over and was, you know, the way a tree can blow over in the wind and have leaves on it for months. Well, this tree was dried up from the root means that it was D-E-D, dead, all the way flat, dried out, gone, nothing left. I guess there's an A in there, right? I went to college. So it was dried up from the root, dead, D-E-A-D, okay? Get you laughing. So he says, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. The literal Greek says, have the faith of God. If Jesus is saying this, it must be possible to have it. Amen. You can have the faith of God, which is pretty big. I would say, I mean, Jesus framed the worlds with his words and using faith. That's kind of a big deal, I would say. Just saying. Look at verse 23. This is what I want to get to. If my nose would quit running. It says, for surely I say to you, Jesus' words in red, whoever, right? We covered that in great detail last week. Is there a whoever in here? Whoever covers everybody. You know, just because you got a past or, you know, whatever happened, it happened. It just because all those doesn't mean you're not a whoever. It says whoever. Says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea and catch this. Should underline this if you got your Bible here or highlight it on your phone. And does not doubt in his heart, believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Does not doubt in his heart. That's kind of important. Does not doubt in your heart. How many of you guys have flown somewhere on an airplane? Okay, have you ever walked down the jetway and doubted in your heart that plane is going to fly? I'm just saying. because it's the same concept. If you're going to walk down, I mean, every time I step on that airplane, I'm like, in the name of Jesus, because there's stupid people on this planet, right? I like to blow things up. I'm not worried about the airplane. I'm worried about the people. But I don't usually have a whole lot of doubt in my heart when it comes to flying on a plane. But then, you know, Christians, as soon as a little sickness creeps up or you get a letter from the IRS, right? All of a sudden, you got all kinds of doubt in your heart. I'm like, what? What is going on here? But it's the same concept. Is God God all the time, or is God God when you're in this room for an hour and 15 minutes every Sunday? Is he who he is, and does he say, does he do what he says he'll do? It's that simple. That is faith in a nutshell, okay? So if we kind of believe in our heart and or does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. It's not about getting stuff. You know, claim it and name it and say it. Say it and claim it. That's a bunch of junk. Cleaning that up real good. You know, that's not the way that what we're talking about. We're talking about believing God for stuff that is important, like healing, right? Or a child coming home, or a soldier coming back. Those are important things. You know, your prosperity doesn't really matter to God. I mean, he has it all anyway. So it's his. Give it back, right? So keep in mind that Jesus is contrasting believing with doubt in the heart. And ask yourself this question when hell jumps up in your face. It's like, okay, am I doubting in my heart that God is God right now? Because that'll stretch your faith. That's going to be a wake-up call. It'll be like, okay, what am I believing here? We'll talk more about that in a minute. Turn over to Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul's gospel on grace. He says in verse 8, he says, but what does it say? The word is near you. The word, talking about the word, is near you. Okay? The Bible is near you. In your mouth and in your heart. If the Bible is in your mouth and in your heart, that word of faith which we preach, he says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. Remember, faith comes how? By hearing. So you hear it, you put it in your mouth, and believe it in your heart, okay? That God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved, okay? Simple salvation. Listen to me. If you have the faith to be saved, you have the faith to be healed. You have the faith to be saved. You have the faith to call in those children who are off horsing around. If you have the faith to be saved, you have the faith to do anything else, because it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same faith that you're standing on to produce things in your life. Jesus said, with that faith, you can move a mountain.
Come on.
Those are big mountains over there. They're pretty to look at. Boy, it'd tick some people off if you had the faith to move one. Everybody would be like, what happened? Well, they're Christians, you know, they're all full of faith and moving mountains around. It's like, that would annoy some folks. Right? Look at verse 10. For with the heart, say heart.
Heart.
With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The same power that Jesus, that you got saved with. Anybody saved?
Yes.
It's important.
Yes.
Right? That same power is the same power that we have in us that we stand on in faith. That Jesus is who he is and that he will do what he says he will do. We're not talking about a physical heart pump thing. It's a heart. Let's talk about heart. What is he talking about when he's talking about believe in your heart? If you were here for we did a series a couple of months ago called Being Led by the Spirit of God. And we detailed in that series what they're talking about, heart. It's the spirit man. If you look in Thessalonians, it says that man is a three-part being. Spirit, soul, mind, will, and emotions, and a physical body. Well, the spirit, you have to believe when he's talking about heart, he is talking about your spirit, Okay? Let me prove that out to you. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. And this is one of my favorite verses in all the world right here. It says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband." How'd that get in there? We're talking about faith. This is crazy. It says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives." Thank God for praying wives, right? Woo, let me tell you what. Verse 2 says, "When they observe your chaste conduct," that's pure or modest conduct, when men who are crazy are observing their modest conduct of their wives, which is a good thing, when they observe their chaste conduct accompanied by fear, look at verse 3, he says, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging of the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel." Religion has taken this verse right here and jacked up thousands and millions of people, when in all reality, it's not even about that. There was a conversation going on Facebook, which I usually won't participate in, and I didn't this time, talking about women in ministry. And it's just like, everybody who quotes those verses about women in ministry aren't even understanding the context, and that's this right here. Be careful of context when you read the word and place judgment on someone else because of what you're reading. These verses don't have anything to do with women wearing makeup or jewelry or fine apparel. And religion has taken these things and twisted them and said women shouldn't wear makeup and they shouldn't wear jewelry. And if they shouldn't wear makeup or jewelry, they shouldn't wear clothes either. Let's just do it if we're going to do it. Right? Because it says apparel. So this will end up on YouTube somewhere. Watch this. The pastor's preaching that women shouldn't wear clothes to church, right? But that, if we're going to do it, right? If you're going to take something out of context and twist it, you got to twist it all the way. That's just what I'm saying, right? But this isn't what he's talking about, because look at verse 4. He says, "Rather let it be a hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." He's saying the jewelry, the clothes, the makeup, none of that crap matters. It's talking about your inner spirit. Work on the beauty that's inside. The outside appearance stuff does not matter. The inside matters. And Peter's telling them to dress modestly and work on the outside, sure, whatever. But concentrate on the hidden man of the heart, which is the inside spirit man. Since day one, since the garden happened, okay, since the man fell in the garden, there's been a war going on in the inner man between the flesh and the spirit. And if you recognize what's what, you will be able to recover faster than have to deal with condemnation and guilt and everything else that the enemy brings. Okay? Because it's important to know that we cannot put all our attention into what we look like or what we have. We have to work on our inner man. Remember, faith comes by hearing. The only thing that's going to produce in your inner man is hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing. You expand your word, you expand your spirit man by hearing the word. Now, I'm not just saying in this room for an hour. I'm saying every day reading and studying and listening and quiet time and things like that. Okay? The contrast between the outward man and the inward man, or the flesh-ruled man, or the spirit man, or your heart has been going on for years. Right? It says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, "Even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day." We read Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that says that we have to renew our mind every day, and we are trying to renew our natural mind. Not talking about that. Talking about renewing your spiritual mind and your spiritual man every single day. Okay, so now that we know where the heart is, it's our spiritual inner man, let's define what it is to believe in the heart, okay, or believe with the heart. Believing with the heart is to believe independently of your physical senses. I told you last week we're going here today. Okay? Because there's things in your body that God created that cause all kinds of havoc in your spiritual walk with God. Right? Your mind is one, right? And your senses is the other. Your senses cause all kinds of problems because we hear things, we see things, we feel things, we can even smell things, right? Those things cause problems in the natural realm when we're spiritual beings. We're supposed to be working on the inside. I think, I have the definitions right here. It says, believing with the heart is this, okay? To take action, because faith always is an action, it's a verb. Right? It's an action word if we want to go to English class. In the absence of any evidence, or catch this now, in the absence, look at taking pictures of my thing. I'll find that on Facebook later. Okay, believing with the heart is to take action. It's an action word, okay? Faith always acts on what it believes. In the absence of any evidence or information supplied by your physical senses to confirm what you believe, okay? You're not going to be able to get it by seeing it or hearing it or touching it or smelling it or tasting it. It doesn't work that way. It's a spiritual realm, right? Two realms, spiritual realm, physical realm. We are in a physical realm, right? We're stuck here till we die, right? That's just the way it is. But when we start thinking spiritually and producing in the spiritual man, we're not moved by our physical senses. What are our senses? What we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we touch. Okay? Now remember that. If we're going to walk by faith and not by sight, where is that verse in the Bible? Romans? Or 2 Corinthians 5:7? Right? For we walk by faith, not by sight. In the Rashid version of that, my Bible says, because I write in it, not this one, my other one that's in the shop, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight, not by what I feel, not by what I see, not by what I smell, not by what I hear, not by what the government says, not by what my wife says, not by what my dead parents say, none of that stuff. I am not moved by anything people tell me. And the first, you know what? This verse right here is the number one reason why I quit watching the news. Because they take, you know, that verse that says, with the faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain, right? Well, the media takes the story of a mustard seed and makes it a mountain. And it makes it huge. And it's just like, okay, and they're putting this thing out there. It's like, okay, who do I believe? And you have to ask yourself that question because, you know, what happened in Manchester last week was atrocity. It was amazing. How crazy people are to hurt that many children. I mean, come on, man. What? There has to be something wrong inside your head to do something like that. But, to listen to the news reports and what's going on and all this stuff, it's like, are you kidding me? Yes, it was terrible, but you don't have to, like, camp on this thing for 100 years. Because you know what? There's families who are being trashed right now. And that's all they do is listen to you tell you what happened over and over and over. It's like, come on, right? And most of it's a bunch of baloney anyway. And, you know, they accuse and this and that. And, you know, it always ends up being the president's fault, no matter what, right? That's just the way it is. Anything bad happens, it's just the way it is. So be careful what you see, what you hear, because a lot of it is going to be a bunch of you know what. And unless it lines up with what this says, you have to stand on the truth. There is only one absolute truth in life. Okay? One. One. College isn't right. The government's really not right. And you used to be able to trust what people would say, but you can't anymore because of whatever. So when we're going to walk by faith and we're going to increase our faith, we have to know what we trust. And we have to ask ourselves that question right off the gate. Okay, who's speaking here? You know, during this past election, everybody had all these different ideas about this and that. And I would always say, okay, what are your sources? Well, MSNBC says, and I'm like, no, that's not a credible source. You know, in college, if you write a paper, anybody in college, right? What do they tell you? That's not a credible source. Wikipedia, not a credible source. You know, the news media, not a credible source. If you're going to cite something, it has to be a credible source. Right here's your credible source. If it doesn't line up with this, it's not truth. Okay? And that can be from Genesis to maps. Figure it out. Because it's in there. Okay? It's in there. We have to be not moved by our physical senses. God is a spirit. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if we're going to do God, we have to do God spiritually, not physically. Okay, that doesn't mean he's not going to heal you physically. He's not going to move in the physical realm. That just means he is a spirit and he must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. So with truth in your life, what are you accepting? Okay, this constant war going on. Here's the second definition that I have of believing in the heart. It's to take action. Okay, if we're going to believe something, we're going to take action in the face of information that contradicts what you believe or what you hear or what people are saying. Because it's always going to be contradictory to the word. The world will always contradict the word. There's always God and then everybody else. So it's important to pay attention to that. Now, I want to show you something. We're going to do a little exercise, not physical exercise. Right? Spiritual exercise. Turn to Romans chapter 8. I want you to do something with me because I learned to do this a long time ago and it really helped me because I was confused about flesh. All right? And flesh is going to be our five physical senses, right? When the Bible talks about flesh, physical senses, right? And or it could be your mind, your will, your emotions can fit into there. And I got to tell you, people are just nuts, okay? Just have that mentality when you're facing people in the world. It's like everybody's crazy, and it makes everything simple because it's like, hey, you're crazy. Whatever, dude. Believe whatever you want. And I absolutely refuse to get into a discussion or an argument or have to be right. It's like, believe whatever you want. I'm going to believe whatever I want. It's okay. Just don't push your belief on me. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the word flesh, we're going to read 13 verses, okay? And we're going to take the word flesh, and we're going to substitute senses for flesh. Let's read. Verse 1, chapter 8, Romans. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, okay? Remember, Christ Jesus is a spiritual being. So if we're going to walk in the Spirit, we're going to follow after Christ. We're going to do it spiritually, okay? Because he says, who do not walk according to the senses, but according to the Spirit. If you're going to walk according to your senses, to what you see, what you hear, and what you smell, what you taste, what you touch, if you're going to walk after Christ using that, you will suffer condemnation because it's the natural realm. Jesus operates in a spiritual realm. If you're going to follow after him spiritually by faith, because you can't see him, you will not suffer condemnation. Just the thought about that. See how this works? Makes things easy, doesn't it? Verse 2, for the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Follow after Jesus, you're free. Right? I love that first song we sang. We're free. Right? If you have chains, he's a chain breaker. If you're bound, he's a free whatever that, I don't even know. But it's a good song, okay? Verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the senses, right? What is the law all about? The law is all about do this, don't do that. Don't do this, don't do that, right? It's a physical realm law. It handles you in the physical realm. Act right, do this, do that, whatever. It's all a physical realm thing manufactured by your senses, okay? So what was weak through the senses, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on the account of sin. He condemns sin in the senses, right? Your sins in the sense realm. We walk in the spiritual realm. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the senses, but according to the Spirit. Are you following me here?
Yes.
Are you getting it? We need to be spiritually led people by faith. For those who live according to the senses set their minds on the things of the senses. You are physically handled, pushed around physically in the physical realm because you focus on those things. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded or sense minded, being moved by what you see, by what you hear, and by what you touch or what you feel, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life in peace. This is what they call in college or high school a big fat contrast. This is this. This is this. Okay? Are you with me? This is pretty simple, but it's exciting. When I got this, I was like, oh, I get it now. Because I was fighting. I was Paul the Apostle, man. I would try to work this and do that, and I would sin. I would fight this and fight that, and I would sin. And I'd mistreat this person, and I'd sock that guy in the head, and I would run this person over with my car and hit a cat with my truck, and it just didn't matter. It was everything. But I was taking so much guilt and condemnation. Why? Because I was operating in the physical realm. I was operating thinking that I'm trying to function in this thing, and actually it was over here. I was on the wrong side of the fence. Verse 7, because the carnal mind or sense-led mind is enmity, enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. So then, those who are in the senses cannot please God. Oh, wait a minute. What did he say? What does verse 8 say? Those who are in the sense realm cannot please God. Now, if I remember right, about 10 minutes ago, you all said you wanted to please God.
Amen.
Right? Am I right?
Yeah.
You want to please God. You cannot please God in the sense realm. Thanks for coming to church. I know you feel encouraged right now. Verse 9. But you are not in the sense realm, but in the Spirit. Indeed, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anybody saved? That's true. Let's do this again. Okay? If you're saved, you have the Spirit of God in you. You are not operating in the sense realm. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Okay? Verse 10. But if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You're born again. Right? Your spirit is renewed. You are full of life now. Your body, physical body, is, well, supposed to be dead. But we want to operate in there. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that operates everywhere. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life. Say, give life. To your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. He didn't say might give it to you. He didn't say maybe if you qualify, if you do 100 nice things today, maybe if this or that. He said it will happen to those who believe. See how stinking important faith is? It's like, wow, are you kidding me? Number one, you can't please God. Number two, it's like, what? You're gonna give life to my mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in me? That's stinking amazing. Just by faith. Just because what you believe. And you're not moved by your physical senses. Look at verse 12 and 13, and we'll be done. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the senses to live according to the senses, but if you live according to the senses, you will die. Just started there. We could have went home 10 minutes ago. If you live according to your sense realm, you will die. It says it, not me. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. We cannot be moved by what we see, by what we hear, and by what people say. I mean, you walk around all day, the world's going to end, the world's going to end, the world's going to end. Yeah, but I know my Savior got my back. If I die today, darn it, I got to go to heaven. Oh, what a drag that is. Not have to worry about the sense realm or the physical realm anymore. I get to go to heaven. That's a real big bummer. Everybody who's left behind, drag for them. But I'm in heaven having a great time. It's too bad for you. Sorry, it's just the way I see it. But look at what we have to make sure that we are not acting contrary to the Spirit of God who lives in us. Okay? By being moved by our sense realm. Do we have time? We have time. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Let's look at somebody who was moved by the sense realm, and it cost them everything. Everything and all of us. That's a pretty big decision. Verse 1 of Genesis chapter 3. I don't think it's in there, Paul. This was a late addition because I had a dream about it last night. Now it says in verse 1, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." That should be a sign to somebody that the enemy, the devil, whoever, he's smarter. He's pretty sharp. Right? He's not going to show up right in front of you and go, "I'm here," with the red pitchfork and horns. Right? He's going to come through people and around through stuff and show his face in the worst place. So he's pretty smart. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said?" Here it comes, right here. Earlier, God told Adam to keep and tend the garden. That should have been a red flag for Adam to say, "There's something else in here besides what's supposed to be in here. I better be alert and walking around." Looking around. Keep my teeth in. He says, "Has God indeed said?" Here comes the question. The enemy will always question what you believe. Because you walk by faith and not by sight, and you're not moved by what you hear or what people say, but the enemy is going to question you in every area. That's how it's so important to be tight and right with what you know. People want to talk to me about theology, first question out of my mouth is, "What do you believe?" "Well, you see, and this guy and stuff." Okay, so you don't know what you believe. We'll talk about this when you know, because you're going to waste my time. "And the woman," verse 2, "said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees in the garden.'" Here she is trying to explain to him what's going on. "But of the fruit of the tree in which is in the midst of the garden, God has said," okay, here's what she believes, "'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Okay? "Then the serpent said to the woman," here's a discussion why. Just a thought that works for me. If the enemy shows up in your life and wants to have a little communication, just shut him down. Say, "Hey, man, I'm not talking to you. You are not with me. You are against me. You are here to kill, steal, and destroy. Move aside." Don't have this conversation. You don't have to. Because you know what you believe because you come to the Bridge Church. Thanks, babe. Verse 4, "And the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die.'" Here's the question. "For God knows that in a day," he's going to contradict the Lord, "that you eat, your eyes will be open and you will be like God." They are already like God. They were spiritual beings in a spiritual place, knowing good and evil. "So when a woman saw that the tree was good for food," she heard first, now she's seeing. You see where this is going? It's getting be ugly. "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes," look at there, "and it was desirable to make one wise," look at what's happening. Can you see what's happening here? Yeah. How many of us have fallen for this trap? "Well, if you just do this and come around this way, you'll be this. I'll get a raise, I'll get a promotion if I just shortcut this thing or cut off this thing and take this way and don't do the upright right thing." Happens to everybody. She says the tree was desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Why did he do this? Because they were moved by what they saw, by what somebody said, and what they heard. Ouch! Remember, the enemy is here to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And he's smart and cunning than any other beast of the field. And yes, God made Lucifer because he was in heaven first before he got booted out. Now Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven. He was the worship leader. Isn't it interesting how the enemy has weaved his way into music? And he, you know, music's really attached to your emotions. That's a whole other series. But I'm telling you, the enemy is smart. And he knows what he's doing. Then look at verse 7. Then the eyes, that's one of the senses, of both of them were opened. And they knew that they were naked. What happened? They noticed themselves. Up until this point, they had no knowledge of anything but God in the garden and one tree that they weren't supposed to touch. And as soon as they touched it, everything, they were self-conscious, and here comes sin. Here come condemnation. Look at me. They're like, hey, you're naked. That's crazy, right? They sewed fig leaves together, made themselves covering. Then look at verse 8. Senses all over the place. Then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It's like when your mom says, wait till your dad gets home, and you hear him come home. It's like, we are in trouble, right? And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. This is just a hot mess going on right here. And ever since, from here to Revelation, just been a battle between flesh and spirit. Ever since. It's been crazy. Then the Lord God called Adam and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Self-conscious. When you are walking in the physical realm, you are self-conscious about you. Let me tell you something. You don't matter. When we're focused on the Lord matters. Pretty simple. And he said, who told you you were naked? Who you been listening to? What have you been listening to? Why do you believe these things? Who told you this? That's crazy. Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? And man said, it was the woman. Always had them out, right? It's the woman's fault. You gave to me, and she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me. How did he deceive her? Right through those physical senses. What he saw, what she saw, what she heard, the question. I encourage you, the enemy shows up in your life, you can put a stop to that right now. Say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, get out. Get away. Even the enemy, even the demons know his name. The guy on the beach in the Gadarenes in Mark chapter 5, that the enemy, the demon in that kid looked at the Lord and said, have mercy on me. So when you invoke the name of Jesus and stop being moved by what you see and what you hear, your faith will grow. It has to. And let me tell you something. One victory leads to another victory, leads to another victory, and lives change. And people start looking at you and going, what's wrong with you? This says, I just love Jesus. I don't know. Come with me. Come to the church, man. Pastor cries a lot, and he's a little weird, but that's okay. It's all right. I don't mind. Let's everybody stand up. First question in your mind when you walk out that door today should be, that where's this information coming from? Is it a trustworthy source? Is it this source? Is it that source? Let me encourage you today. The Bible says faith is a fight. You got to dig your heels in. You got to know and understand what you believe, who said it, and why in the right context. And you fight this fight of faith, and you don't let up, not for a second, because the enemy is smart and he's going to wiggle in, and he will use people, most likely Christians, and mess you up. Don't give him an inch. He is here to kill, to steal, and destroy your life. Kill your dreams, steal your hope, and destroy your life. That's why he's here. Know that. Close your eyes. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you today, God. You're awesome in this place. We love you with our whole hearts, Father, and we have all the faith of the generations before to say, yes, we love you, God. We worship you, Lord. And we ask today, God, that you invade the hearts of these, your people in this place, under the sound of my voice, all around the world today, God. That we do not be moved by what we see, what we hear, what we feel, God. That we are moved by the Spirit of God, that He stirs in us a new day, a new life, a new heart, God, new attitude. Be obedient to Your word. You're awesome, God. You're awesome. With every eye closed, every head bowed in this place, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, if you've never given your life to Him, I want to encourage you. We're going to sing one last worship song here before we go. And I just encourage you, just put your hand up. Somebody will come and pray with you. If you have a prayer concern at all, anywhere across this room today, if you have a prayer concern, you want somebody to come and pray with you, just lift your hand up high so somebody in the back can see it. And somebody to come pray with you. It's that simple. You can believe today by just saying, "Yes, I believe." And that's just a matter of lifting up your hand. So as we sing this song, I just want you to focus on God. Say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." Okay? Anywhere, anybody, raise up your hand. We'll come and pray with you in Jesus' name.